This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Christy Landwehr from Aurora, Colorado, and you are listening to a special training episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 15th, episode 955. This episode is brought to you by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Skyline Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ability equals skill plus knowledge.
Got a bad feeling about this.
Here's a safety tip for you from the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Missed it by that much.
How can I change this to make it better the next time?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Time for Training Tuesday on Horses in the Morning with the Certified Horsemanship Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Yes, it is Training Tuesday with the CHA, and we have Christy back with us. Hey, Christy.
Hi, Glenn.
So now tell everybody what you told us in the pre-show meeting about where you are right now, because it's just so classic, Horse Girl.
I am actually sitting outside in my backyard in my pickup truck, staring at my manure pile that happens to have a red fox sitting on it right now, staring back at me.
And is he just taunting you? Is he sticking his tongue out?
He is. He's, like, scratching himself like a dog and rolling around in the manure and, you know, being typical dog but cat-like, too, like a fox. You know, he's doing all the traits. He's pretty cute.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always run into with foxes, of course, is we have chickens. Do you have chickens?
Oh, yes.
And, okay, foxes and chickens don't match well. How did that work out last night?
Yeah, thank goodness for the coop. But, you know, every now and then we like to let them out of the coop so they can eat the bugs and walk around. And normally the dog goes out with the chicken so that the dog can keep the fox away. But last night my husband thought the dog was out, but the dog was in the basement getting cool because we had a hot day. So the fox went off with some dinner, chicken dinner for the fox.
Oops. Yeah, that happens a lot. We always had that happen, too, with our chickens. Only they would come in and kill, like, five of them in one night. It would never just start with one. It would always be, like, three. You know, they would never
settle for one. Leftovers. They had
leftovers. Yeah.
Yeah, take them home in a box.
How many chickens do you have? And do you have an overabundance of eggs? We always had more eggs than we could do anything with. It was like...
No, we have 14 chickens, and now we don't have that many. But we have a lot of eggs, but, you know, we have a husband that eats four eggs a day. We've got two boys that eat a couple of eggs a day. We've got brownies to make, cakes to make, stuff to do. So we actually use them up pretty well, and if not, the neighbors love them, and we give them to the neighbors.
There you go. There you go. That sounds like a plan. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's training day?
On today's special training episode with the Certified Horsemanship Association, sponsored by Skyline Equine, we'll jumpstart the show with vaulting coach Tammy Gaynor, who will gracefully balance an overview of the sport of vaulting. And then doing a flying dismount into the latter half of the show, Patty Skipton has the lowdown on vaulting competitions. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I got to tell you, I like vaulting. I got a new respect for it when I was at the WEG in 2010. I actually watched the vaulting every afternoon. Now, I realized that was like the highest of the high level of vaulters when you make it to the WEG. But it was a lot of fun to watch.
I really enjoyed vaulting, too. I don't know. I didn't know much about them. And as you both know, I teach riding. I've been teaching riding for over half my life now. And when you teach riding, The children and the husband do not want to take the lessons from you. Oh, no, they don't think you know a whole lot, and then you get in trouble with each other, and you know how it goes. And the expectations yeah. change a bit. So my boy said, well, Mommy, we still want to ride horses. We don't want to ride with you. I'm like, all right, that's fine. So I found this wonderful lady named Noelle Matanovich and her husband Yossi, and they live up in Golden, and they call their vaulting program Golden Gate Vaulters. And I took my boys up there, and they have this little half-winger pony named Chunky Monkey. Very cute. Kids very chunky. Yes, the monkey, just Chunky Monkey. And they even have T-shirts that say Chunky Monkey Fan Club that they give the kids on their first vaulting lesson day.
Oh, no.
And so, and what's so great is that they teach you for an hour, but they alternate between one kid on the barrel while one kid's on the horse, and that kid gets on the barrel, that kid gets on the horse. So for little boys that are ages 7 and 9, it is very active. It's like doing flips on the trampoline, but on top of a horse. They get to go to school and brag. I stood up on a horse last night. So it's been a great, fun, recreational thing for my boys to do.
Wow, that is a really good idea, actually. And I just found a picture of Chunky Monkey. He's so cute.
He is cute.
A fat halflinger. That's perfect for kids.
It's like riding a couch.
Yeah, you know, you get the Percherons or Belgians, and you're getting up there pretty high for little kids who are just learning. That's a long way to fall. This way, it's not as big a fall.
No, absolutely not. And what's so great, you know, I've been teaching kind of the traditional American way that we tend to teach, where we give the kids the reins right away, you know, and we go ahead and have them start learning balance, but they tend to balance on the hand. Well, my kids don't get their reins in vaulting, right? There are no reins. So already they're cantering on Chunky Monkey with their hands out to the side. And they're already doing things like that. So I kind of have this little hypothesis going on in my head that I have a feeling my boys are going to end up being more like what they do in the Spanish School of Riding in Vienna, where they don't give riders their reins for quite a while. And my boys will probably end up being better riders than some of my traditional students by the time it's all said and done.
Well, you would think that that they would have better they would understand the concept of balance better, having done vaulting. Because that's what it's all about.
Yes. And, you know, I think, you know, some people call it gymnastics on horseback. I almost feel like it's almost yoga, too, on horseback. Some of the moves that they do are very yoga-like. And there's a lot of stretching involved. And, boy, it is an athletic sport. My boys have to run around the arena before they get on to get their heart rate up and they have to stretch. Yossi makes them get down on the ground and do stretches. They have to jump on this little mini trampoline to jump onto the big barrel, which is as high as a true draft horse, not Chunky, but, you know, like a Percheron or a Belgian. And they have to do all this kind of athletic stuff. They have to give each other legs up when they're over there with Chunky. So they're using all of their muscles in their body, and I think that's been a really fun concept of it as well.
Well, I was just going to say, too, I think you have to be somewhat muscular to do, especially at the higher levels. You have to have muscle because a lot of what they're doing requires upper body strength. It just does, especially, you know, the pyramids they do and some of the things they do on the horses, stacking them up there.
Yes, and my boys have not gotten to the point where there's two of them on there at once. I worry a little bit about that because I think they might try to play King of the Hill and push each other off.
Yes, especially at that age. They're at the age where they'll be doing that a lot. That's really cool. You know, I would have never thought about that for kids as, you know, as a way to keep them interested in horses, but yet doing something that's a little more fun for especially little boys, too.
Well, yeah, you know how we're always trying to look for something for little boys because girls tend to have the bug sometimes worse than the boys. So I think, you know, we have, what, 80% women in our industry tends to kind of be the norm for the little girls riding too. But I'll tell you, my boys think that vaulting is cool. And Noelle lets them wear sweatpants, you know, and they get to wear actually tennis shoes because in vaulting, if you wear boots, it actually can hurt the horse. And they have the thick pad and all that, but it's still better to wear the tennis shoes. And then eventually, of course, you wear vaulting shoes that can grip a little better, like almost like ballet, where you can kind of grip with your toes and your heels and whatever you need to stay balanced. And I think that they like that. You know, they don't have to wear the breeches. They don't have to wear the tights. They don't have to do that. And if they ever competed, of course, then they would have to wear these with the proper clothing, which includes the tights. But at this point, we're just doing it for fun, and they're having a good time.
Well, great. That sounds like fun. Well, you know, we did, I learned a lot about vaulting leading up to the 2010 World Equestrian Games. We highlighted for the 2 years leading up to it, we had spotlights in all the different disciplines, and we had our spotlight vaulters were the English vaulting squad, who ended up winning the WEG there. So they ended up taking the gold medal. So we had a great time following them through the whole process and then seeing them in Kentucky and hanging out with them a little bit. So it was just a lot of fun. I spent afternoons there. I went down. Part of the reason I went down, one, it was air conditioned and heated, and there were comfy seats for us press, and it was kind of an afternoon break from all the running around watching all the other disciplines. It was in the new indoor arena, and it was just kind of a break, and they had it set up. It was beautiful the way it was set up. If you've never had a chance to watch it, I think some people would think, oh, you know, it's just weird, you know, or different or whatever. If you've never had a chance to watch it, go watch it. It's horse husband approved. It's fun to watch, especially, again, at those higher levels.
Speaking of horse husbands, you transitioned for me perfectly there, Glenn. So my husband has taken them to vaulting a couple of times. So one day he says to me, hey, will you schedule a vaulting lesson for me with Noelle? I said, sure. So we go up there, and again, she likes it to be half and half. So I vaulted half the time, and he vaulted half the time. And I've been vaulting on and off. No, I don't know. I've maybe done it a dozen times. Okay, so I haven't done it a whole lot. But I thought I was getting pretty good. I was pretty proud of myself. And we ride this black Percheron named Ebony. She's a fabulous mare. And so up John goes, and he's getting the barrel work done. He figures out what the compulsories are, which we'll learn about here in a bit from Tammy, one of our guests today. And he's doing some of the basic moves. And then Noelle, of course, sees something in him that she thinks is fabulous. So she has him stand on the horse his first time. She has him canter on the horse with his arms out to the side the first time. She has him do the mill, which is basically around the world where you sit sideways, backwards, sideways, all at the canter his first time. And I'll tell you something, he kicked my butt. It's all of his martial arts training and all of the stuff that he's done in the past. He's just the natural. He was wonderful at it, and he loved it. He thought it was great fun.
I was going to ask you, because I don't think I could do any of those things the first time. So he has martial arts training that has to contribute to it.
I think so. Yeah, he's very athletic. He likes to go to the gym a lot and do all that. He's actually an electrician, so to pull wire and do all that all day, he wants to stay in shape. He thinks the most hideous job in the world is my job where I sit at my desk all day. He's like, I never want to do that, so I'm going to stay in shape so I never have to. He wants to pull wire forever.
That's funny. Jennifer's dad was an electrician, too, so she's done this. She worked with him for a while. I don't think she ever wants to pull wire again through an attic in the dusty, moldy attic. I don't think she ever wants to do that again. So God bless him. I'm glad he does.
It is hard work. But we had one of our school horses of the year, since you had mentioned WEG, was actually a horse named Doc, D-O-C. And Doc was a Belgium that Noel and Yossi Martanovich, who my boy's husband and I now vault with, they actually own Doc. And Doc has gone all the way to the World Equestrian Games. He's gone overseas for the Golden Gate vaulting team. He has done single, double, and I think he's gone all the way to quad, where he's had four people up on his back at once. He is a world champion school horse, as well as a horse that has had little tiny kids on him and has just taught the basic beginner. So he definitely exemplified what we believe a school horse of the year should be. So Stone Model Horses, wonderful Peter and Elaine Stone, immortalized him into a model horse, and Doc is now emblazoned with the ZHA logo on his hip in, you know, the Stone Model Horse land. And it's just a fabulous model, and he's a fabulous horse. And when the boys go up to Noel's and Yossi's, they get to see him because he is now retired up there and living the life of luxury in the mountains.
I got to tell you, that's one of the things that so impressed me watching vaulting is you did, if you have a good lunger and you have a good vaulting horse, you don't even really notice them. I mean, you're so busy watching the athletes on top of the horse that if the horse is doing their job, and I got to tell you, you know, the competition I saw, you saw the horse in the beginning, but then the horse kind of goes out of your sight, and you're watching the athletes do their thing, and if the horse is doing their job, you don't notice them. And I guess that's the idea, is that they're supposed to be so steady and so, you know, not causing any trouble at all. for the vaulters on top, and that was true. I mean, you kind of tune the horse out after a while, and you're just watching the vaulters.
Absolutely. And, you know, we always say a school horse is worth its weight in gold. And I'll tell you, these vaulting school horses are no exception to that rule. They have to get in that nice, steady canter and just stay there. And, of course, they also have a trot division for the littler kids. And, again, a very steady, smooth, not too bouncy trot. There's a science to picking a really good vaulting horse for sure.
And it can't be one that used to do what our Percheron did all the time, and that was trip. You can't have a trippy vaulter because that's not good.
No, that would not work well.
The vaulters tend to end up over the head. It's never good that way.
Nope.
But we talk about vaulting. One of the most important things with vaulting, and you have to have a good one, is a lunger. So actually our training tip of the month involves lunging, doesn't it?
It sure does, yes. I'm really glad that we're going to be able to listen to the audio of this. Lunging, and for those that think that it's basically put the horse on the end of the rope and let it go yeehaw around, that's not what it's for. It's for getting the horse balanced in its gait, for getting the horse supple and soft. There's a lot more to it, and there's a definite way to do it that's correct and a definite way to do it that's incorrect. So we're very excited that Tammy Gaynor, who's one of our guests later in the show, will also be providing that.
All right, well, let's take a listen.
This is a safety tip by the Certified Horsemanship Association. My name is Tammy Gaynor, and this is my assistant lunger, Tara Gamble, and this is our Belgian quarter horse, vaulting horse, Brooke, and they are going to be our assistants today. And today we're going to talk about the proper techniques of lunging and the benefits of why we lunge our horse. Lunging is not about just working your horse down, but it is an excellent ground training tool to incorporate obedience, respect, and a relationship with your horse. We're first going to talk about the equipment that we would use for lunging. Brooke is an equestrian vaulting horse, so we do have her equipment that is being used for vaulting. You will see that she does have her bridle on her. We have a lunge line that has a metal swivel on. The lunge line does go over top of her pole and across to the left side and out to Tara's hand. You'll notice that Tara is holding the lunge line folded and not wrapped tightly around her hand so that when she does send Brooke out and she does bring her back in, that she does not get tangled up into that lunge line. And you'll notice that Tara also has gloves on, so this prevents any slipping from this cotton lunge line that she has from harming her hands and also gives her a better grip on the lunge line. We also always want to use a cotton lunge line, whether it's a round or a flat webbing. We do not want to use nylon because nylon does burn. She also has a lunge whip about 6 foot that she uses as an extension of her arm. And we'll move back to Brooke's equipment back here. She does have what's called a vaulting surcingle on, and so it does have handles. Typically we might use side reins for her. We would never use side reins on a horse until they have been trained and accustomed to side reins. For the benefit of the video today, we have removed her side reins so that we can just show the basics of lunging and the communication that will happen between Tara and Brooke today. We're going to go ahead and we're going to let Tara take Brooke out into the center of the ring. And you're going to see how voice commands are especially important when we lunge our horse. Again, we want to work on control, relationship, respect, and trust. It is a tool, and the whoa and the walk and the trot from voice commands is very, very important. So you'll notice how Tara is sending Brooke out. And she is using the lunge line in her left hand as a means to send the horse forward. She is using the lunge whip in her right hand as a driving aid, not as a punishment tool ever, but as a driving aid to send Brooke forward around in the circle. And if we ask Brooke to whoa, we're going to ask her to slow down and whoa. And whoa. Okay, and you know, Brooke has been vaulting for quite a bit of time, and so she has the basics of lunging. You would never want to learn how to lunge a horse with an inexperienced horse to lunging. It's always best that when you first learn to lunge, that you use a horse that is experienced in lunging and is well controlled. We're going to go ahead and send Brooke out again. So if you'll notice that Tara does have her whip underneath behind her, so that it is out of the way and that she doesn't miscommunicate to Brooke about walking forward. So it is behind her. So she's going to step away and she's going to send Brooke out. And we use the whip towards Brooke's shoulder to ask her to step away from us. Again, you'll notice that nothing is fast and uncontrolled, but it is very, very controlled environment here for Brooke, and that everything is calm and straightforward. And the communication of Tara, you'll notice her body position. Her shoulders are straight. It's the same position that we would use when we're riding our horses. We have that excellent body position of ear, shoulder, hip, and heel, and so that we're communicating to Brooke that we are in control and that we are the leader in this little herd of two here, and that Tara is walking around with Brooke. Again, the lunge line is the leading hand. The lunge whip is the driving. And you'll notice that Tara has asked towards Brooke's shoulder that she needs to step out away because we don't want that lunge line on the ground. And sometimes it might be that we have to back up just a step or two to assist our horse in not allowing that lunge line to drop out. So we're going to ask Brooke to trot, and you'll notice that, again, it is controlled. We're asking for it, stepping up and staying in that tight little circle for us, or walking in a big circle. Lunging is not about staying in that small 30-foot circle, but we can use this and walk our horse all over the arena. And again, teaching respect and control by sending them out and bringing them in. For the benefit of today's demonstration, we did only lunge to the left, but you want to make sure that you always lunge your horse to the right and to the left for even exercise. You don't want to overcompensate one direction or the other. And we're going to ask her to walk. And whoa. Good. And again, it is all about the benefit of control and trust and respect with our horse, and just an excellent, excellent ground training tool that the more control we have from our horse on the ground will just transfer in under the saddle.
Well, there you go. That was taken off of one of the videos that you can find on the Certified Horsemanship Association website. And Christy, our first guest is ready.
Wonderful, and I'm very excited to introduce her. This is Brittany, and she is with Skyline Equine. And Skyline Equine provides many things, but especially vaulting equipment is what we're going to be talking about today. So, Brittany, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are thrilled to have you. So we were talking today, Brittany, about people that want to get started in vaulting. Let's say we have either an instructor out there or a trainer who thinks, wow, vaulting might be kind of a fun thing to get started in and have my students start to do. Or perhaps we have a person out there that has their own personal horse that maybe has done some vaulting in the past, but they don't have any of the equipment they need. Could you please describe to us the basic vaulting equipment that somebody might need to get started?
I definitely can. Vaulting is a great sport and great for all levels, great on a recreational level to competitive. We do offer a recreational package, which is available on our website, and it consists of your vaulting surcingle with the basic D-rings, and that's the handles, and then you also got the side reins in this package, and also a crank girth, so it's easy to get the girth done up tight underneath the horse. They come in black and white, and we have different girth sizes, obviously, to work for all different horses, and even down to little ponies. So they're a great product, and we do sell them as a package online.
Yeah. Now, Brittany, I got to ask you, do they come with balance and coordination for people like me, the beginner package?
Oh, totally. They got the easy button. No.
Oh, good.
Unfortunately, they don't. It's all, unfortunately, trial and error, and you got to learn through the levels, and you got to really understand that, yes, you are on a circle, so you have to make sure, being a vaulter in the past myself, that you have to stay on the circle with the horse or you're going to the outside.
Darn. I didn't realize that I couldn't buy the beginner package and not have to do all the work. I still have to do all the work.
Well, if you're teaching from the ground, then you're just instructing the kids, so it's better.
Okay.
At least I find that better.
What kind of bit do you want to go in the horse's mouth? Are there a variety of kinds, or is this one particular kind? What are your thoughts?
Personally, we've just stuck with Snapples the whole time, as long as you've got a well-balanced and trained horse that's going to stay in a frame with the side reins, which you're pre-training them to do, then usually you get enough control out of a Snapple, but just a basic Snapple is what we found works best.
Wonderful. And as far as different thicknesses of pad, should your pad be thicker for heavier, more adult riders versus thinner for kids, or does that not really matter?
I would say it matters when you have beginners that are going to be landing a little more not in control as the adults and the more advanced riders or vaulters are going to be a little more controlled in their landings. But, yeah, basically you want to have a decently thick pad. We do sell vaulting pads as well that meet all the FEI regulations for high-end competition, but they're great for just recreational as well, and they come with a removable cover so you can wash them when they get all sweaty and dirty, and the pad underneath remains nice and firm as well.
Very good, and I know Skyline Equine, you do much more than just sell vaulting equipment. Would you like to tell us some of the other things that you do?
Yes, we also sell vaulting shoes. So that's kind of an essential for any vaulter starting. You can always start in like a water shoe, but it's kind of heavy, whereas the vaulting shoes are light. They're made up of real leather, and they have a rubber sole. We have some that have a split rubber sole, and then we have some that have a solid groove rubber sole, which are great for gripping when you're doing standing exercises, just to make sure that you have your feet placed balanced lovely over the horse. We also do a full range of English tack, bridles, girths, halters. It just goes on and on. You'd have to check out the website. We even sell horse treats on the website. So if you guys get a chance, go on the website and check it out, and you'll be there for hours looking and clicking on different things.
And please go ahead and give us that website address.
It is www.skylineequine.com.
And you yourself are a vaulter, and you said that you also have, are you guys still having a team? Do you still do some riding and some vaulting and training, or are you too busy now with your shop?
No. You know, we did vaulting for a really long time and competed internationally, locally, even at the World Equestrian Games. We've been there a few times, and it was great. It gave me the base I need. I do dressage now, so I'm not involved in the vaulting anymore, but we're very much involved with still selling the equipment and helping out new clubs that are in the local area. But basically, all of our horses, they're older and retired, and they just like to stand around and eat now. So we've stopped the vaulting club just as lack of time with all this website stuff. It's gotten pretty busy.
Well, busy is good. So
yes.
Once again, Brittany, I would love to just say that I'm going to sell out the website for everybody. So it's www.sky, as in the sky, S-K-Y, line, as in a line, L-I-N-E, and then equine, E-Q-U-I-N-E.com, correct?
That is correct.
Now, you're out of Canada, right?
Yes, we are. We're in British Columbia, Canada. But we do ship all across the States.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just looking at your website, and I was seeing all the pictures of the vaulters on the beach. So I guess you guys must have been able to practice on the beach a bit.
We actually did a show on the beach. That was a demonstration that we did at a beach that's out here. It's called White Rock Beach, and it was a great show. We had to walk the horse down on the beach, and we had to walk quite a ways, actually. It was like a 45-minute walk, and then we had to walk our way back. But our trouble was the tide was coming in, so we had to hurry back. Just because the kids were rolling up the pants on their leotards and they had their shoes off and we're trying to get the horse back and she's in water and it was fun, but we definitely knew when the tide was coming in.
That's funny. Well, yeah, it does look like you've had a lot of fun with vaulting over the years. And you live in a beautiful part of Canada too. You're up there in British Columbia. Yeah, it's a beautiful part of Canada.
We love it.
Well, the website again is skylineecline.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye, Brittany.
Bye.
Bye, Brittany.
Well, that was fun. Have you ever been up to that part of Canada? It is beautiful.
I have, but only one time. And we have about 15% of our membership through CHA is up in Canada. It used to be only 5%. And Tara, who was being mentioned on the video as the lunger that Tammy was talking about during that audio portion that we just did, she was our president. She was also on our show at our inaugural one in January, if you'll remember, Glenn. And Tara Gamble, she really raised the bar up in Canada from 5% to now 15% of our members are up there. So every now and then I get to go across the border.
Wow, that's terrific. Yeah, and of course Canada is our second largest listening audience here at the Horse Radio Network. So we love our Canadian friends. Speaking of the video we just heard about lunging, Tammy is ready.
Wonderful. I have my pleasure to introduce Tammy today. I have known Tammy for quite a while. I actually did meet her through Certified Horsemanship Association. She has been on our board of directors as a board member, as our secretary, soon to be our treasurer. She also is a master certified instructor with us in not only our English and Western program, but also in our vaulting program and our Instructors for Riders with Disabilities program. So she wears many hats. She's from Pegasus Farms in Ohio. And Tammy, it's a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I am really going to enjoy talking about today's subject.
Yes, tell us a little bit before we even get started on the questions of how you got started in vaulting and how all that came to be.
How I got started in vaulting. I actually took gymnastics in high school, enjoyed it, went to a couple local and regional competitions, and then went on to college, got married, and started working at a camp in southern Ohio, and they were using vaulting as just an extra activity in their week-long camps, and I just fell in love with it instantly because it really involved the gymnastics that I loved in high school and involved my passion of horses put together. I thought, oh, it doesn't get any better than this. So through the years, we used the vaulting at the camp, and when I moved to northern Ohio and came on staff here at Pegasus Farm, I just felt like that would be a wonderful addition to our program. So in 2000, we bought our first vaulting horse, a Percheron, 3-year-old Percheron named Micah, and started training him for that first year. And the vaulting has since 2000 taken off and running. We are now running a pretty solid vaulting program for the last 15 years, and we have varies each session from 18 to 22 vaulters each session. So
wonderful.
Great.
So I have a question then, as far as just vaulting in general, how did it all start? When did somebody say, you know what, I'm going to stand on top of a horse? That sounds like a great idea. When did all of vaulting start?
You know, I've researched and researched through the years of how vaulting actually got its started, how its beginnings, and it really goes all the way back to ancient times, ancient Rome and ancient Greece, where they did exercises on horses and competitions on horses, and really made its surgence through the Renaissance and the Middle Ages for the knights. That was part of their learning process in becoming a knight, to be able to do what they considered riding agility on cantering horses. Back then it wasn't a circle, it was a long line. And in today's Renaissance revivals of those reenactments that you see occasionally, you will see that type of vaulting. And it just continued through that. I think it made its big resurgence over in Europe, post-war Germany, as an activity for children. In the 50s, it came to the United States and began in a few clubs that were involved. Then the Vaulting Association, American Vaulting Association, was formed and just continued to take off here in the States, and now is recognized as an FEI discipline.
And how long has it been? Do you know, Tammy, how long it's been recognized and part of the World Equestrian Games?
Since, I believe, 1983 is when the FEI actually officially recognized it. Back in the 1920s, they did what they called artistic riding in the Olympics. But it was not an official discipline at that time.
So it kind of came down the road of synchronized swimming. Right, how that kind of started.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, basically just as entertainment and then grew into an official sport.
Well, I know Brittany talked a little bit from Skyline Equine about some of the basic equipment, but I want to go one step further with that. What is the location? Like, what do you need as far as space and an arena, or can you do this in a pasture? What do you need as far as space for lunging? And then let's go into what kind of horses and what is some of the basic training for them, if we could.
Okay, using an area that is probably 60 by 40, a good, nice, solid area that has soft ground. Arenas are actually the best, some type of good sand footing, but it also, again, it can't be real deep. For the vaulters, the horse it's excellent for, but for the vaulters it's very difficult. So a nice soft surface, prefer that it be enclosed because you are, you know, using a horse, even though controlled by the lunger. Some of the other basic equipment that you can use that's really essential would be, number one, besides the equipment that Brittany talked about, which is for your horse, is a vaulting barrel. It can be as elaborate or as basic as you make it to be. They can be made out of old water tanks. They can be made out of 50-gallon drums and well-padded and handles being put on them, or purchasing the surcingles, as Brittany was talking about, and wrapping them around the barrel. But that is your essential piece of equipment. There are a lot of clubs out there that don't even have the horse yet that are strictly just barrel vaulting teams. Because that vaulting barrel, you learn all of your basic exercises. As you know, with your boys and yourself and John, the barrel is where you learned your exercises first. And as your vaulters work on different exercises and such, moving from the compulsories to their freestyle, and their imagination is the only limit as far as making up their freestyles, but they always want to use the barrel first because you don't want to jeopardize your horse. So it really inspires creativity to have that barrel. And then also just various equipment that they can learn to do the gymnastics. Learning how to fall is a very essential exercise. We use tumbling mats. We use trampolines to jump on to learn how to land softly. When they do land from the horse, that they, you know, soften all of their joints. We use balance beams on the ground. We use jump blocks and put a plank across it. So again, you need your imagination again of all different things that you can use. Hula hoops that you can use to encourage balance, teamwork. And then the equipment that Brittany was talking about, the vaulting surcingle and the bridle and the snaffle bit, we have actually personally here at Pegasus, we have purchased 3 vaulting surcingles from Skyline Equine. And the entire package that she has talked about is wonderful because you get everything you need in one package at a very, very reasonable cost. And it's made from good quality leather. And I purchased our first one back in 2001 from them, and it still looks brand new. So it is a wonderful
everything
product.
Apparently except the balance and coordination.
Yes, that the balance and coordination. Yep. Just sorry, it's just not included in that.
Well, that I wanted to ask you. You know, I do know we've talked to a lot of alters over the years on the shows here. Do a lot of them come from the gymnastic side, or do they come from the horse side, or are they just brand new?
All over. It really is all over the spectrum. you know, people who, you know, just we do a lot of, we are not a competition team, we're a recreational team, but we do a lot of go out and do a lot of demonstrations. And just people that are interested in doing something different, you know, and riders that, again, you know, looking for something different. So really, it is not one or the other. It really from all ends.
And that's interesting, too. I wanted to make a note of that. No, Christy, I'll sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to make a note of that, too. You have a recreational team, so if you want to get into it, you don't necessarily have to compete.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No. You know, a lot of programs just use it where I was at that I said at camp, just used it as an extra activity. For their camp, a lot of programs. There was one just started in southern Ohio here out of a boarding barn. One of the parents, their daughter went through our camp last summer, became very, very interested in it. So they are just forming a club within their boarding barn. 4-H clubs formed out of that. So absolutely do not have to go into competition.
Okay.
And I think what's so neat about, you know, the vaulting aspect for those that maybe are instructors or trainers is, gosh, you only need the one horse. And you can have, you know, a lot of kids be a part of your vaulting program. So you don't have, I think, the expense of a regular riding program. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're having that one horse. And we typically run 8 vaulters per one horse. So it is economical as far as for us, but also for the parents. You know, the parents that have those horse-crazy kids but really can't afford to, you know, buy a horse or to lease a horse. But this is a wonderful way for their children to become exposed to the horse and to work safely around the horse and to be safe around the horse. Because we don't just do just the vaulting. They learn about horse care. They learn about how to care for the horse, you know, and grooming and tacking and, you know, and daily feeding and caring for them. So it's economical on both ends.
I do have to ask you, when you're talking about the horse, does the horse tend, because we are going around in circles a lot, and, you know, during practice sessions they're just doing that one movement a lot. So do they get burned out?
We fortunately have not had that, but we do a lot of cross training and talking to a lot of other coaches. So there's cross training, whether it be going out on trails, dressage.
I was going to ask that.
So cross training the horse and giving them other days of doing, you know, something totally different.
Yeah. Give the brain a break, you know?
Well,
good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that, because I think you would have the propensity to get burned out doing that one movement all the time.
Right.
Anybody, any creature would.
Yes. Yeah. But you know that we found the wonderful vaulting horses absolutely love it. They love it. And they look forward to those vaulting sessions.
Cool.
So is there a better breed for vaulting? Is there a better temperament of horse for vaulting? If I wanted to go out and find myself a horse to train for vaulting, what would I be looking for?
I don't know that it's absolutely not breed specific, but absolutely temperament, conformation plays into it. Temperament really is the biggie, because you want to look for those horses that have that are sociable, that can tolerate ever-changing activities that are going on around them, both, you know, on their back, inside the circle, outside the circle. You know, you can have 15 little vaulters running every which direction, working on the barrel, working on the trampoline, working on the balance beam, so that they are aware of their environment but yet are not overstimulated by it. So their temperament, you know, kind and not easily rattled. The height also plays into it, you know, depending on what you, your program, whether you're going to work with just vaulters, small vaulters. So you might want to stay on the smaller end of a horse, you know, a 16-hand horse, or, you know, if you're having adults and you plan on going into competition, that you might be looking at 17 or 18-hand horse. It tends to be in the States that we use drafts and draft crosses. I tend to use, we have several Percherons, Percheron crosses. I have a Clydesdale quarter horse cross that we use. Patty, who you'll be talking to next, tends to use Belgians. So again, the breed is not as essential as the temperament. The conformation does play into it because you need a balanced horse. You're going to have vaulters up there moving in all different types of directions and exercises. So you want a horse that can really maintain their balance and have a nice even gait in walk, trot, and canter.
Do they need to have a pretty broad back, especially when you start putting three or four people up there at once?
Right, yes, yes. Nice, solid, broad back that's not too long and too short. That they are, they have a good, solid back to them.
Well, and we listened to your lunging portion today, obviously, earlier in the show. And for anybody that wants to see the video, if you just go to chainstructors.com and click on the education tab, you'll see the list of all of our videos that we've done, and we would love for you to go and listen or watch any of those. But do you want to say anything else about the lunging, anything that you feel is important and key to people that are listening?
I think knowing that this type of lunging is different than your everyday lunging that you would normally do or see, and it is absolutely not like what we've been seeing a lot of, you know, the natural horsemanship of taking a horse around in circle and having them turn towards you. There are just specific things that you do not want a vaulting horse to do. One is not turn in towards you when you ask them to halt, that they do have a solid, solid halt on them. So that if something happens and there's a safety issue, that when you say whoa, it means whoa and it's unquestionable. Also, you know, listening to voice commands, walk, trot, canter. But it is a horse that is, has hours not only just lunging them when you're doing your vaulting lesson, but really building a good, strong partnership with that horse outside of that, so that that horse is extremely tuned into you and extremely obedient.
And I'm doing something. I was telling Glenn earlier, I'm doing kind of an experiment. I'm starting my boys in their riding with vaulting. And do you think that's a beneficial thing to do? I feel so far it's been wonderful for their balance and their confidence because the horse isn't trying to go eat grass, and they're not having to deal with the frustration of making sure the horse is out on the rail. You know how the horse always wants to come into the instructor in a typical lesson. They can truly just focus on themselves and their position, and it's been a pleasure. Have you seen that in what you've been doing? Because I know you teach, of course, traditional riding as well as vaulting.
Yes, yes. And I hear from our other instructors that our students that are vaulting, that their riding is progressing so much quicker than other students in their class, that they are learning the balance and the coordination and putting everything together. So absolutely. And you mentioned that, Christy, to me this morning, but then also earlier in the week. I am actually also doing that with my grandchildren. My grandchildren, although they may get on the pony at home occasionally, they are vaulting. So I'm really anxious you know, also to see how their riding progresses as they get older. And, yes, I think absolutely whether they vault first. And I know, you know, in Europe, it's required to vault first before you ride.
And they have some pretty amazing riders in Europe.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they're starting to vault at 2 and 3 years old. So at a young age, they're learning that balance and that coordination.
I think that's one of the things that I really like about this, too, is that it really is a group activity. I've enjoyed that. As I thought at first, oh, sharing an hour, I don't know about this. But I'll tell you, absolutely, if one of them's on the barrel or the trampoline or, like you said, the balance beam or doing their tumbles on the mat, the other one's up on the horse. And I can then, even as a mom, even though I don't know a lot about vaulting, I'm learning too, I can still coach because I can watch them do the moves on the barrel and I can kind of be an interactive part of it too. So it almost feels like a family affair, which has been really fun for me.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, and not just, you know, the teamwork that develops with the vaulting members through the years, you know, having a vaulting team for 15 years and the ones that have grown up and gone on, that they still maintain those friendships throughout. And it is a group activity and then a family activity. And I have several siblings. And their parents come and their parents, you know, are involved too. You know, just helping out when we go and do demonstrations that, okay, I'm going to bring this, and this parent's going to do this, and it does become a family and a group activity, absolutely.
Well, Tammy, it has just been a pleasure to have you on today. I so appreciate everything that you've told us. And will you please give us a way to contact you through the Pegasus website?
Absolutely. Our Pegasus website is pegasusfarm.org, and my email is Tammy, T-A-M-M-I, at pegasusfarm.org, and it is one farm, all lowercase. The number here is 330-935-2300, extension 104 is my extension.
And I also want to say to everyone listening out there, anybody who's attending our international conference, which is open to the public in October in Lexington at the Horse Park, Tammy will be there, and she is going to be doing some talks on vaulting. So you can come and experience and do some hands-on work with her. So that'll be a pleasure as well.
Great. And if vaulting is for everyone, no matter what your age.
As my 48-year-old husband can attest to, he does fabulous at it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, Christy, and thank you, Glenn, so much for
having me. Thank you so much for coming on. You almost make me want to try vaulting now, Christy. Almost.
Try it all, Glenn. Try it all. All dreams, all disciplines. This is the horse world we live in. Try it all.
I need to get in better shape if I'm going to do vaulting. See, your husband had an advantage. He's in good shape.
Good point.
I think I need to accomplish that goal before I try vaulting. Yeah,
Glenn, you need to start. Your first skill you're going to learn in vaulting is when the rider, before they leap merrily up onto the horse, they run along behind it. You can just do a bunch of laps, about 30 times around, running along behind the horse, and do that for a couple of weeks.
There we go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing with these better vaulting horses. They have to boogie. I mean, they're running to get onto that horse. When the horse is cantering and they come out from a certain place in the circle, they have to run to catch up to that horse. This isn't just a jog. It's truly an athletic event. As you know, Christy.
Very true. I'll tell you, I am not at the cantering mount yet. I am definitely at the let's walk along and can somebody please leg me up stage.
Well, let's take a break for our song today. We have more talk about vaulting coming up here in just a minute. But let's first hear from Templeton Thompson with I thought When I Get That Pony Road would be appropriate for today.
Thank you. such a perfect landing. Yeah, I'm still alive, not sure how I survived. It was a hell of a ride till it ended. I guess that's what you get when you leave. You don't know.
That is Templeton Thompson with When I Get That Pony Road. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by the Certified Horsemanship Association and Skyline Equine. Christy comes on with the CHA once a month, the third Thursday of every month. And if you missed previous episodes of the training day we have here at Horses in the Morning, you can go back to horsesinthemorning.com, and you can find all of the previous episodes there. And you can also find them, I believe, Christy, over at Certified Horsemanship's website as well, right?
You sure can. They're all on there as well.
Very good. And to find out more information about the Certified Horsemanship Association, what's the best place to go to?
They can go to chainstructorswithans.com. And if they want to, something that I want to bring up is we do a vaulting certification. So for those people out there that are interested in finding out more about vaulting and then getting certified, we do a vaulting certification. We actually partnered with the American Vaulting Association to make that certification happen. And we are looking for more host sites, people that want to host those as a fundraiser for your program or to get your staff certified and trained, and we would love for you to contact us and find out more.
Very good. That's terrific. And while Jennifer is getting our next guest on the line here, what anything new with the Certified Horsemanship Association over the last month since we talked the last time?
You know, I had a great time. I was in Austin, Texas last week on behalf of CHA, and it was hot and sticky. I'm not used to that coming from Colorado, but besides having big hair, it was an absolutely lovely, lovely trip. Got to meet with some folks at Texas A&M University. They're going to be doing some certifications and things for their students out there.
Cool.
Also got to be part of the American Quarter Horse Association YES Conference. They do a big youth conference, and it was in conjunction with their AQHA Youth World Cup. So got to watch some of the competition and be a part of those youth leaders. And you know what, Glenn? We're in good hands. The youth are great. They invited the leaders of the Paint Horse Association, the youth leaders of reining and of cutting and of stock horse. And, boy, these kids, we had a big discussion one of the days about some of the issues in our industry, like, you know, in New York wanting to stop the carriage horses from being in Central Park and things like that that are going on in the industry. And I'll tell you, these young people, they know what the issues are, and they're going to work hard to make sure that we all have our wonderful horses and plenty of trail space and things in the future. Good stuff.
I got to give the AQHA credit for that. We've interviewed a couple of the – well, let me rephrase that. We've had – a couple of the best interviews we've had with teenagers have been teenagers who are with the council and really are working with the AQHA on their youth programs. They have been some of the best-spoken, most knowledgeable kids that we've worked with.
Yes, I would agree. It's a pleasure to hear them in action. And they ran this entire conference. So they went up there and gave the invocation. They did the Pledge of Allegiance, and then away they went with their business meeting and with the incoming and going out of officers. And we just sat back and watched it happen, and they did a great job.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're terrific. Well, let's get back to vaulting. And do you want to introduce our next guest?
I would love to. Patty Skipton wears many hats. Much like many of us do in the equestrian world, but vaulting is her passion. She is currently up in Washington, so she will be moving down to Southern California here in a few months. But she runs a program called Warm Beach Vaulters, and she has been running this program. She implemented it. She started it. As Tammy says, she uses primarily Belgians, but she works with a lot of different breeds. And she is a master instructor with us, and one of our vaulting coaches, as I alluded to, our vaulting certification. And she has she's just a pleasure. So, Patty, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure listening so far.
It's fun that we get to do that. We get to kind of listen to what's going on and then kind of know, you know, what's coming up. But one of the things that, Patty, I would love to start, much like I did with Tammy, can you give us some of your background and how you got started in vaulting?
Sure. I have loved horses all my life and had my first horse when I was 10. It was one of those situations where, thank the Lord, you're still alive, because I had no idea what I was doing. But when I was 18, I bought a six-month-old colt so I could do every little girl's dream of training their own horse. And fortunately, my youth director found a college for me to go to where I could take my horse. It was called Rawhide Vocational College in Southern California. I took my horse, and that's where I first saw vaulting. And I just fell in love with it. I've always loved gymnastics. I love the horses. And so I started vaulting in the camp program. Rawhide Ranch has a huge youth camp horsemanship program, and I got vaulting going as a part of the program there, which it's still going today, many years later. And I started a little competitive team. We went to a couple competitions locally and won nationals, where I actually vaulted myself on a team. I think that was in 1984. And then we moved north in California, and I started Monta Vista Vaulters, where we were there at Monta Vista Christian School for a number of years and had a team there that went to World Equestrian Games in 1994. And we did the Olympic demonstration in Atlanta in 96 and raised all my kids vaulting, and it's just been my passion for many years.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And I want to start just by kind of explaining the basic compulsories. We've alluded to them. I know my boys have done them. My husband and I have done them. And, of course, this is what all vultures need to do in order to get started. So could you explain those compulsories and what they look like on the barrel and on the horse?
Okay, sure. There's a couple different differences in the compulsories depending on what level you vault at. But the first compulsory for everybody is the mount, and it looks very different at the trot than it does at the gold level, but basically it's how you get on the horse, and you do a jump that gives you the horse's momentum, and you kick your leg, and it either goes nice and high and straight in a full split over the horse if you're gold, or if you're a trotter, it might look like kind of climbing up the side of the horse. Once you're on the horse, the first compulsory is called the basic seat, and that's where you just learn your balance of sitting and moving with the horse. All of vaulting wants to be in harmony with the horse, so the basic seat is really the key to learning that harmony and moving with the horse. And your legs are wrapped against the horse, your arms are out about eye level. That's a basic seat. The next compulsory is a flag, and to do the flag, you get gently to your knees and you move them back a little bit towards the back of the pad so that you're in what's called the box, where your knees just below your hip in a straight line and your shoulders just over the handles and your wrist. From that box, then you extend your right leg straight out behind you and your left arm straight forward towards the horse's left ear. That's called the flag. Your supporting leg, the left leg, moves with the horse. It's not rigid, but it flows with the horse to keep that harmony. The third compulsory in a full set that the silvers and golds do, it's a little bit modified for the lower levels, but the third compulsory is the mill. And in the mill, it's also known in some circles as round the world. You bring your right leg over the horse's neck until you're sitting side seat facing the lunger. And then your left leg goes over the horse again so that you're facing backwards. At this point, the lower levels, the trot and the copper, come back to the inside towards the lunger, but a full mill, you go on around so that you're facing outside to the outside of the circle, and then on over the horse's neck again to face astride.
Now, I've seen a lot of riders do that accidentally, Patty, but you're talking about actually doing it on purpose. See, that's a different thing.
Yes, yes. And again, it's each phase of the mill is a basic seat, then forward, then sideways, then backwards. So you always want to be moving with the horse.
So it's similar then, to what they do in gymnastics where you do the compulsory, all the gymnasts have to do the compulsories before they get on to the other stuff.
Correct.
And, yeah, okay.
Yep. Compulsories are the basis for everything, and you really
have to
master those.
And how much of the score do they amount to then?
Well, there's compulsory is scored, and then they're added together for your overall score.
Okay.
And that's one score, and then your freestyle is another score. And then when you're at the gold level, there's also what's called the tech test, and that's another score.
Okay, so it is like gymnastics that way, where even how it's scored, really. Okay, cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So then the next compulsory is called the scissors, and that's a flight move where you swing your legs ideally into a handstand above the horse. And this one's really cool because when you catch the horse's stride properly, the horse throws you up, and it's not you're not muscling it up, and it's really beautiful. And at the top of the swing, then you cross your legs so that you come down facing backwards. And then when you're backwards, you swing your legs forward towards the horse's rear and cross them again so you come facing forward. That's the scissors.
And
I
Patty,
think it's one of the more difficult ones.
I think
what
it's difficult,
that?
Too. Yes. I think it's difficult, too. I was asked to do it by Noelle, and I'll tell you, it's a little scary, too. But just like you said, it's all about rhythm. Once you feel that horse's stride and once you feel that rhythm and they kind of throw you up in the air, it's actually easier at canter than it is at walk and trot. Because there's that impulsion. And wow, it's a really fun, and you can entertain your friends and family with it because you really look cool when you do the scissors right.
It's also painful when you don't do it right.
Do it right, yeah.
Then the next compulsory is a stand, which is basically a basic seat on your feet. So you just hop lightly to your feet and you keep your knees real fluid so that the horse moves them, and you just stand there, and it's not really as hard as it looks, and it's really cool to do because most of your friends can't do it unless they're all vaulters.
Now, do some people take it to it, you know, I'm assuming the answer is yes to this. Do some people take to it more naturally than other people? I mean, there are people that are just more coordinated than other people. There are people that can do gymnastics and those that can't. So what do you find are people that truly excel at it?
Well, definitely having a dance or gymnastics background is useful. Of course, if you're a horse person and you already are relaxed and comfortable on the horse, know how to move with the horse, that also plays into it. But, you know, we teach it in camp.
But to be honest, I've met some pretty uncoordinated horse people. So,
true. I guess I feel like everyone can be successful at vaulting. We teach it in a camp situation where you get 15 kids, you know, that all have different backgrounds, and some are afraid and some are gung-ho, I want to stand my first try, you know, but they can all be successful at vaulting and do something that they've never done before, even in the first lesson. Whether they're going to go on to become a gold medalist and be wonderful in competition depends a lot on their natural ability and their cross training and their other background things. But I feel like everybody can be successful in the beginning levels of vaulting.
Gotcha. Okay.
I agree.
Well, you know, until we had this conversation, though, Christy, I would have never thought about starting vaulting as an adult. I always thought about it as a kid's, you know, a flexible kid's thing to do.
And you have quite a few beginner adults that start with you, don't you, Patty?
Yeah, occasionally. We don't have a lot because our program's a little more geared towards the competition, but I have had an adult ladies class for a while, and I think my oldest vaulter was maybe 67, and she was quite an active horse person. But, yeah, I've had all ages, and I have one competitive vaulter who used to be a gymnast, and I think she's about 43 now. She competes very successfully.
Huh. Interesting.
So are we all done with all the basic compulsories?
Well, I guess I left you on the horse. The last compulsory is actually a dismount, and at the high levels it's called the full flank, and it's also a swing exercise where you swing up and then you come down piked onto the inside of the horse sitting side seat. Then you leg over so you're sitting astride again, and then you swing up and off to the outside of the horse. That's called the full flank, and that's a dismount that the upper levels do. At the lower levels, they just do what's called a half flank, and they swing up and off to the inside. And then the very beginner levels, they do what's called a simple dismount, and they just bring their leg over the neck and come down to the inside of the horse. So the dismount depends on the level that you vault at.
And then if I want to start getting into competition, once I've mastered the compulsories and things are good, how does everything else work? How do I start even knowing where to begin with freestyle and what are some of the next steps and goals?
Well, you can certainly watch other vaulters that are performing freestyles and videos, but usually we start by teaching them a few basic freestyle moves, which freestyle is anything that's not a compulsory, or it's a compulsory done sideways or about different position. And you just start putting those together in a smooth way that kind of flows on the horse. You find music that you like, and you start thinking about kind of the theme of your freestyle that'll play out through your music and your costume and your choreography. And you spend a lot of hours on the barrel putting it together and changing it and tweaking it and perfecting it. And it's a one-minute routine, so you have to get it into that time frame as well. And then you start doing it on the horse, generally first at the walk, and then once you've got the moves kind of figured out, then you try them at the trot or the canter, whichever gate you're at, and just start practicing the pieces. And eventually when you have, you know, the little segments of two or three moves that go together, you put them all together and you have a freestyle.
And they look like fun. And I'll tell you, Noelle, our coach, loves to say, well, just try something up there. What? But I'll tell you, you can be very creative. You really can. I was telling Glenn earlier, I do yoga. I enjoy my yoga a couple times a week. So Noelle said, we'll do some yoga moves up there. So I'm up there doing downward facing dog. I'm up there doing crow and some other really neat things that I do in yoga. And she goes, well, there you go. You just did a freestyle. I said, oh, well, but that was all right.
Yeah, very yeah. Fun. Freestyles are a lot of fun. And when my children were young, we had a barrel in the yard, and they would spend hours with their friends on the barrel making up individual routines and double routines and triple and quadruple, you know. They'd have all their friends on the barrel, and it was great entertainment.
We have a barrel in our backyard, too, and it's right by the trampoline, and we have one of those big, gigantic rectangular trampolines that doesn't have a net around it. So I'm not sure if that's good or not, but, boy, they love jumping from the trampoline to the barrel and back again and doing all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Yep, it sounds like little boys.
So how many have, what is the maximum in competition that are up on the horse at one time doing a routine?
Three. Can have any combination of one, two, or three vaulters on the horse at a time.
And what does it take, talk about teamwork, to be able to coordinate all of that? So these one, two, or three people also work on the barrel all together, don't they?
Yes, yes. A team is made up of six people plus an alternate. So you have your bases, who are your usually larger or stronger vaulters, and then you have your flyers, who are your little itty-bitties that get thrown around in the air. And the teamwork part is my favorite, because just of the relationship and the life skills and the problem solving that's involved with it is amazing. And just learning to get along and work together. And when they first start, you hear a lot of, I don't have room, you're in my space, move over. And the horse is only so big, so they have to learn to work very closely together and not bump each other off the horse. And there's hours of first groundwork even that goes to perfecting moves, and then they put it on the barrel and then on the walking horse and then eventually on the trotting or cantering horse.
I am just so impressed with the dedication and the skill once you get to that level. So tell me an experience, if you could tell everyone about a World Equestrian Game experience that you would like to share, since I know you've been to quite a few of those.
Well, I went to The Hague in Holland in 1994 with my team, and that was a wonderful, scary experience. I'd never even been overseas and never been to that big of a vaulting competition. my son was the flyer. He was 13, and it was a wonderful, amazing opportunity just for us to travel and see some country and meet just fabulous vaulting people. Vaulting community is really friendly and welcoming. Although there's fierce competition, there's never talk with them because they're, you know, the competition. Vaulters share ideas, they share horses, it's just a wonderful family, and we really experienced that. In 2010, when WEG was in Kentucky, our team hosted the team from South Africa. They came here for 3 weeks and trained with us and trained on one of our Belgians. And then we hauled two of our Belgians back to Lexington, and one was used for friendship team demonstrations, and the other one was used for the South African to compete on. That was a little scary and really, really fun. And the first go, their compulsory round went just beautifully. The second time we ran in the arena, the energy level was so high. The place was sold out. And as we ran in, my horse was a little bit on edge. We lined up, and he's a little bit afraid of the whip. And when they handed me the whip, I thought, I should just drop this whip for a minute and get my horse on the circle. But you don't really drop your whip on the ground in front of all these judges, so I didn't, which was really turned out to be a mistake because he freaked and took off to leave the arena. Only when he got right to the very edge, he stopped with me, you know, dragging on the end of the lunge line, trying to stop this 2,400-pound horse. But he stopped before he left the arena and turned towards me, and I was able to get him on the circle, and all was fine. But it was one of my scarier moments in my life. If he had stepped out of the circle, they would have been disqualified.
Wow.
What a good boy.
Yeah, you know, I often wondered about that because, you know, there's one thing you learn when you deal with draft horses is they want to do something and you're not going to stop them.
No.
If they're motivated to do something and really have their mind to do something, I don't care who you are, you're not going to stop them.
Yeah.
So
there's pictures
of
me. There's pictures of me dragging on the end of the lunge line, and I am way back past his rear end, and his head is directly the other direction, just dragging me.
Get it out. I'm out of here.
One more
is
reason
just
for wearing gloves while we lunge.
Right. Hey, we're running out of time here, guys. How can we, Patty, how can people find a vaulting instructor? How do you do that?
Well, you can look on the CHA website. They have a search where you can find one, or you can go to the AVA, the American Vaulting Association website. They have the regions listed, the regional supervisor, the clubs listed by region and state. So people are always willing to help new clubs and new people get started. We love to share our sport.
Now, is it best when you call to ask, you know, to let them know, hey, I'm just doing this for fun, because they might be a competition club? You want to make sure you're getting in the right place?
Most clubs and coaches are willing to help anyone get started, and most clubs have a recreational program that sort of feeds into their competition teams.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right, cool. Well, thank you,
so
Patty, and good luck on your move.
Well, thank
yeah.
you. Thank you for having me. And it was really fun talking, and we will be going to our nationals in a couple weeks, so keep tuned in to see how that goes for everybody.
And that's in Oregon this year.
Eugene,
right?
Oregon, yes. Yes, starts July 28th, 30th.
Very good. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Patty.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Look at that, Oregon getting some love for horse things. Doesn't happen a lot.
I know. I'm telling you, Denver gets the vaulting nationals quite often, too, and that's just right up the road from me here at the National Western Complex. So it's been a joy to go and watch that. I think that's what hooked my boys. There was a young kid doing a freestyle to Superman's theme, and he was dressed like Superman, and they were looking at that going, that's pretty cool. Fun way to hook them in.
Yep, there you go. Well, this has been fun. We don't talk about vaulting a whole lot here. This is certainly more in-depth than we've ever gotten here at the Horse Radio Network. So I appreciate you bringing this to us.
Definitely, and I'm just so thrilled because Pegasus Fund that Tammy worked for and Warm Beach that Patty's currently at, and soon she'll be back at Rawhide, actually, where she started. She's going to go back there and work with everyone again. So all three of those programs are CHA program members, and they're just fabulous places to get started in riding of any kind, including vaulting. So it's always a pleasure.
And where can people find out more about the about what's coming up with the CHA?
It is chainstructors.com, and we have clinics listed up there if you want to get certified. We have our educational conferences if you just want to learn more about how to be an instructor, our manuals, DVDs, and our free YouTube videos. So please partake in all of it. We would love for you to come and be part of the CHA family.
Very good. Well, and of course, if you want to learn more about the Horse Radio Network, you can find all of our shows, all 10 of them, at horseradionetwork.com. Horses in the Morning is weekly, or daily, rather, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back here tomorrow morning with Jamie. We'll be back. She's coming to us tomorrow from Oklahoma. She's still at the in-laws' house out there. So we'll hear what adventure she has gotten up to in Oklahoma over the last couple of days. When we left her on Monday, she was heading to her first yoga class in a long time. So it's funny that you brought up yoga today. We'll see how that went. And don't forget our app. That's probably the best way to listen to the shows. You can find us on iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network, and all the shows are there. It's simple. You can either stream the shows or you can download them to your phone to listen to later. And, of course, Christy, as I said, is here the third Thursday of every month with the CHA. So if you missed past episodes, go to horsesinthemorning.com, and you'll find them there. Thank you, Christy. We'll see you again next month.
Thank you, Glenn and Jen. Have a good one.
See everybody. Be safe. Wear a helmet.